And we're back to the Adon Show, ladies and gentlemen. How is everyone doing? I hope you had a wonderful day. Today was beautiful. It was filled with wonderful weather, fantastic people, and phenomenal cuisine. I just want to tell you guys, I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be contributing the knowledge and the insight that I get from reading my books, from living my life, and from trying to grow as a person every single day as much as I can. So if I can be an inspiration to you guys, that makes me complete, and that makes me feel like I'm giving back to the world. Which brings me to my next topic. Tony Robbins talks a lot in his book, Awaken the Giant, about how when you go to bed, it's important to ask yourself, what did I give to the world today? It's wonderful, the feeling of being able to contribute. As much as I see society valuing exterior desires and pleasures, I know that there's a true value, a real true value in the interior pleasures. Now, we can spend our whole entire lives on this hedonic wheel thinking that once we get this car, or once we get this fame, or once we get this person or loved one, we will finally find happiness. But Jim Carrey talks about it in his motivational spiritual talks. He said he wanted to be famous for his whole entire life, and finally, once he became famous, he says, now what? Like, is this it? I'm not getting the feeling that I thought I'd get. And we all live in this illusion. It's called the Matrix. To me, I call it the Hindus call it the Maya, the dream. The Don Miguel Ruiz in the Four Agreements calls it the mitote, the silk screen, the smoke screen, the smoky mirror that blinds us to see what's really there. What's really there is love. All these presuppositions of people thinking that you're black, I'm white, you're Jewish, you're Catholic, you're Arab, you're Mexican, you're from this. We're all the same. We're all the same. Nelson Mandela said something that really impacted my life, which was, we all bleed red. And that has really been inspiration to me. I mean, Nelson Mandela was confined in jail for many, many years to stand up for African rights in South Africa against the white, I don't know about politics, I don't know if it's the white nationalists, I don't know the terminology, but the oppressive white folk in South Africa. And it was wonderful to see how after he got out of prison, there were multitudes of people celebrating for him. So just to see, I mean, we see a Gandhi, we see him fasting for food, we see how a Gandhi that is rebelling against the oppression in India from the British monarchy inspires a Martin Luther King in the United States to, you know, to just free the African Americans from the oppression and the discrimination that had constantly been going on. Now, Malcolm X, another very, very powerful speaker. He came from a place of riling up the people. He was genuinely angry and passionate, and he fed off that injustice, that feeling of uncertainty, the feeling of not feeling complete, the just this terrible feeling that the African Americans had at that moment. He tapped into that, and with the rage of his passion, he was able to ignite crowds of people. And I've been looking and I've been studying the speeches of all these powerful influencers and role models and icons of all time that have made a difference in the world. And I'm trying to see what really makes a difference in the world. And that is, according to Tony Robbins, giving. I'm giving. When you have a sense of giving to the world without expecting anything in return, you will feel complete. And people karmically think that, okay, well, if I give, I'll get something in return. It's not like that. It's really about being a good person. I don't know what you believe in. I don't discriminate you for what you believe in, but I know that I find meaning and happiness in genuinely giving to the world. Now, you give to the world in the simplest ways. You could smile at a person on the street. You could simply be kind to a store clerk. Or you could even be talking to somebody who lives on the street. You give people the real treatment of them knowing that you realize how important they are in a world where, unfortunately, we are judged only by our physical appearance. Now, takes me straight to bullying. I mean, we get bullied in school just because we're different or because we're not out of our shell or because we're antisocial. But if you think about it, some of the most powerful figures in the world today were bullied. And we could talk about David Bowie. He has his pupil is bigger on his left eye because he got in a fight. He got hit in the face when he was young. He was different. Steven Tyler got bullied because of his big lips, from singer from Aerosmith. Keith Richards, guitarist of the Rolling Stones, rhythm guitarist of the Rolling Stones, was bullied when he was younger. I'm just saying, man, it's okay to be different. And it's interesting because all the people that bully, like if you look psychologically, the kids that bully on the playground, other kids don't want to play with them. This whole entire illusion in high school, I mean, people are popular because they are attractive and because they are physically dexterous to be good in sports. That is phenomenal. And those are qualities that take kids to the NFL. It gets them through college. And it gets kids and women out of high school into modeling, into beauty pageants, and into acting if they have histrionic capabilities. Those are wonderful qualities. Now, do I think that those are the only qualities that should make you popular? No. In my high school in Puerto Rico, the most popular guy was the best looking, tall, handsome, blue eyes. Not that you need blue eyes to be handsome, just that's the way he was. He was a baseball, he had lead of the baseball team, captain of the baseball team, smartest kid in class, lead of the honor society, and the funniest guy you could ever imagine. In Puerto Rico, I really didn't go through any bullying. People didn't go through bullying. I mean, we had I fit in with the kids that were very, very smart as well, but that liked rock music in English. We didn't listen to much rap in Spanish or reggaeton. I love reggaeton. I think it's a great style of music. And then it was kind of like segmented our micro society in high school, because we had, yeah, those kids that listened to rock and that listened to American English music. We were all into My Chemical Romance and Simple Plan, Blink-182, 30 Seconds to Mars, etc. And then there seemed to be another group that was more isolated, that spoke less English and was more influenced by Spanish-speaking music. Obviously, it makes complete sense. Reggaeton. So I fit in with the kids that spoke a lot of English and that listened to rock. Now, I came from Aspen when I was 10 years old to Puerto Rico, and I was accepted by Puerto Rico. They loved me. There is somehow a wonderful admiration that I felt from the Puerto Rican kids to me when I arrived. I mean, I'm not bad looking. I am charismatic. I'm funny. I had many of the traits and the qualities that the most popular guy in school had. I have to say, I was the class clown. Now, one thing he didn't have was that he didn't like the fact that I also had his qualities. What happens there? I was watching a really cool YouTube channel that you guys should check out called Charisma on Command, and they talk about how the most charismatic guy in the room is a guy that's able to laugh at other people's jokes. someone that doesn't have to take all the credit for being the coolest or the funniest. Because in reality, the coolest, nicest people, like, are so humble, and they laugh at people's jokes, and they redirect the attention to other people. And I could name out so many celebrities, one of them being Enrique Iglesias, which I had I was fortunate enough to meet him. And I was fortunate enough to meet a journalist that took pictures of him in Miami, and he's always been known. I mean, I'm so impressed with him. He's been with Anna Kournikova for I don't know how many years. He's a faithful boyfriend, husband, I don't know if he's married. He's very friendly to the journalists. The journalist came up to him and she says, "Can I take a picture with you?" He's like, "Yeah, of course, here, let's take a selfie." And he's really nice, really, really kind guy. So I think that's also an example. I mean, for the celebrities that are out there, I think that, you know, I understand that there's an invasion of privacy and it's annoying, and there's a point where you're just like, oh my god, everybody's asking me for photos, I can't take this anymore, I need my space. I am not famous. Like, I might have 27,000 followers right now, and typically at least one person in every country I go to recognizes me that's American or British or from someplace, mostly American, recognize me from Mexican dynasties, and it's a wonderful feeling. But I see why some celebrities feel like they need their space. And some celebrities, when they say that they don't want a photo, maybe it's because they don't look good. But I promise myself that when I become a celebrity and people come up to me, I'm gonna be like that, like my dad, Fernando Allende. Very, very graceful with my audience, very grateful to my crowd, very nice to my fans, grateful, appreciative. And I've always been that kind of guy. People say that I treat everybody the same. I treat everybody with the utmost respect. I talk to the valet guy, I say hi, I know his name. I talk to the woman that works at the perfume store. I talk to the bartender. I talk to everybody and I say hi as if they're my best friend or my family. And what does that do? When you treat people like they're your best friend or your family, it's like a little ripple effect. Karma, they say in Hinduism and Buddhism, is like you drop a little stone, like a little pebble in the water, and those ripples come back. It's a ripple effect. So when you leave this little trace of warmth and kindness to the hearts of people, they are going to give it back to you. And it surprises me sometimes, like, how good I've been to people, because I just get this wonderful warm wave of lovely, lovely energy from people. And I think it comes around, and I really get pleasure out of treating all my Adonatics with love and affection and open arms on social media. Which brings me to my next concept, social media and bullying. We live in a society, unfortunately, that is pretty much guided by what you look like. So, I mean, beauty right now is the typical prototype, skinny, tall Victoria's Secret model, right? But back in the Victorian era, I'm not sure what era it was, if you were plumpy and you ate a lot of food, it meant that you were wealthy, and the ideal of beauty was, I mean, even the Greek goddesses, the statues, they're more voluptuous, and that was attractive, and that's what true beauty is in this era. And another thing is what objective society perceives as beauty, and what the most beautiful you can be as a person is. And that all starts inside of your heart. Yeah, you could be overweight, but I want you to be healthy. I want you to feel like you're eating the right food. I want you to feel like you could get up a staircase without getting the wind knocked out of you. It takes effort. I think most people, if you can, do exercise. It's good for you. It's proven. Jordan Peterson talks in his book about called the 12 rules of life. He talks in one of his chapters about how doing exercise actually keeps your brain functioning correctly after it stops producing neurons after, I think, believe, 30 years old. So if you want your brain working well, people, do some exercise. Not too heavy. Keep it light. Eat healthy. Some of my healthy eating habits have dropped the sugar. That doesn't make sense. In my healthy eating habits, I have dropped the sugar intake. What's a good way to get a better diet with less sugar? We have, what do we have? We have, instead of rice, bread, and potatoes, you have quinoa or wild rice. Instead of having ketchup and barbecue sauce, you could switch to Dijon mustard and pesto and hummus. Balsamic vinegar is poison and is full of sugar. Do not have it. Step away from it. Throw it out. Get apple cider vinegar. It'll change your life and it'll change your waistline. And berries. I mean, there's so many nutrients in berries, but you don't have juice. Juice is loaded with sugar. And there are lots of fruits that are loaded with sugar, like pineapple, mango, banana, apple. Although they're very delicious, if you want to lose weight quickly, there's this book called The Seven Hidden Sugars. I forgot the name of the writer. I'll remember it. But you know, if you want to lose some weight, it's really good to avoid those high sugar fruits that I told you and have berries. All the berries are very, very low sugar. And the intake, just like, don't drink the juice. Have the actual fibers, because the fibers are going through your system and they're great for your gut processes, and it's low sugar, so it's super good. So love the world, guys. I know we want to be famous and we want to get money and we want to be rich and we want to achieve all these things, but instead of achieving and instead of being ambitious, what if we just thought about giving in return, giving our love, giving our time, giving our energy, and learning. Like Tony Robbins says, can I, C-A-N-I, constant and never-ending improvement. That's what it's all about. That's what life is. We have to constantly improve our lives. It's not about maintaining a lifestyle. It's more about improving a lifestyle. And we can improve our lifestyle by using Rhonda Byrne's secret, the law of attraction. Well, it's in the Emerald Tablets. It goes down millions, thousands of years. The law of attraction is a real thing, guys. You can attract anything you want through thought. Now, will it manifest instantly like the secret says? No, but it will create a state of being that will manifest whatever you want. Now, I honestly, like, from Awaken the Giant, I'm on a chapter right now that had me write down all of my, let's say, like, a magic genie comes up to you and says he'll grant you any wish. Literally, I wrote down a list of about, like, 21 things that I thought, like, the most outrageous things. Like, I want to be friends with Bruno Mars. I want to be friends with Harry Styles. I want to be friends with Taylor Swift. I want to have $7 million in the next year. I want to be a kung fu master. I want to have a podcast. and one of those things on the list was podcasts. And it said, narrow down all these things to a list of the years that you want to take to accomplish them. And I took everything. I put 1 year, 1 year, 10 years, 5 years, 4 years, 3 years. And I narrowed down all the 1 years, and to the 1 year that it was podcast and Kung Fu Master. So for you guys out there that are thinking about learning Kung Fu, it's wonderful. And Tai Chi as well. These Eastern philosophies, like the Tao Te Ching from Lao Tzu. The Tao Te Ching is very very much influencing the Kung Fu art. The Shaolin monks, the famous Shaolin monks in China. It takes great power, great energy, and great strength, and great control of the monkey mind, as Buddhism says, to completely... I mean, when you meditate, you could just sit down and you could breathe in and breathe out. Just breathe in and breathe out. Put some good meditation music on and just constantly breathe. Every night, to awaken your spiritual body, just focus your attention on your toes and then your feet and your calves and your knees, and keep breathing and then then your hamstrings, and then your glutes, and then your abs, and your arms, and your shoulders, your neck, your face. Now you have awoken your spiritual body, and you're in a state where it's possible to astrally project. Astral projection, metaphysics. We're talking about being able, I mean, the soul is created, is connected to the body through a silver, unlimited string that goes endlessly. It cannot be severed until the day of death, which is Mr. Grim Reaper. Don't be afraid of death, guys. It's not that bad. We all die. Death is right around the corner. What happens in the afterlife? Hinduism and Buddhism believe in reincarnation. It's very comforting. We've always thought of the afterlife. I mean, Catholicism and Christianity talks about heaven and hell. I mean, is there a devil? I think the devil really exists. In this kind of world, I think the devil exists. I think energy exists. I think the kind of energy that you put out affects your vibration and your auric field. I feel that when someone with a bad vibe, I know you guys must have felt it sometime, someone with a bad vibe is looking at you, or you just arrived to a place and something just doesn't feel right. The axiom of what does your gut say, follow your gut. This is something that I exhort all of you to start exploring, your intuition. That voice inside your head that tells you what to do and what not to do. Listen to it. It is your master. If you pay attention to it, it will speak louder to you. If you ignore it, it will disappear and stop talking to you. Quite sad. But if you listen to it and you practice this exercise that I'm going to show you right now, you can develop your intuition. Now I'm going to give you guys a few mantras to activate your chakras with vowel sounds. So the third eye chakra in between the eyebrows is E. Your throat communication chakra is E. Your heart chakra, your love chakra is O. Which makes sense why the Hinduism says the Bhagavad Gita, the Vedantic scriptures, at first was the Om. The verb created everything. That's also biblical studies. So O. Now, your solar plexus, your emotions, you have that really difficult day, you went through a hard time, get those emotions rolling. You want to open up that chakra and relax your emotions right above, right under your rib cage, your first abs. You go, ooh. This is called toning, everybody. Toning is opening up your chakras. Believe it or not, your lungs have chakras as well. I said this in the first episode. You go, ah. Now, your sacral chakra, your sexual instinctive motor chakra is at the bottom, and it is where the Kundalini awakens from, the magical serpent of Kundalini that yoga will awaken. The Kundalini that will awaken if you practice tantric sexuality. The Arcano AZF, as the Gnostics will agree and teach you, is an exercise of making love without ejaculating. It's about sublimating and transmuting the semen through a specific mantra called the Ham Sach. So it goes Sach. When you inhale, you do Ham Sach. And many football players and athletes are told not to ejaculate before a game. Many men might understand this, but after you ejaculate and the day after, you feel this sort of tiredness. Doctors even say it. They say do not have sex while you have a cold or while you're sick. It lowers the defenses. And I agree. I mean, this creative energy that men have inside of their testicles is a powerful energy. For all the monks out there, I tried to be celibate. I mean, I took a celibacy vote when I was about 23, and I was celibate for about a year in my meditational practices to rid myself of worldly pleasures. And I believe, and I'm telling you guys, and the guys that are sex fasting will understand that after about a week you start getting really, really horny and you start feeling a lot of sexual impulses. But this energy is the creative energy of the universe. It's the creative energy that you feel when you look at a woman, or when a woman looks at a man, and you feel this compulsion, this rush inside, this your blood racing, your heart beating, and your attraction for this woman is just, and your attraction for this man is just the magnetism, and just pulls you towards this man. This is the sexual energy of the universe. Nothing is more powerful than this creative sexual force. Now, many people think that the purpose, like philosophy, some philosophies say that the purpose of life is to procreate and to extend the evolution of this race. I believe that there's more to life than just procreating. My Viktor Frankl meaning philosophy of having a goal in the future and having something of hope, something to work towards on the inner journey of finding your true purpose and not on the exterior journey of getting to the top of the mountain. George Harrison got to the top of the mountain with the Beatles, and he was one of the most spiritual Beatles. So he got to the top of the mountain of fame and success, and he says, you know what? What else? I've had all the women in the world. I've met really cool people along the way. How old was he? Like 30? I don't know. 35, he says, now I want something else. So he meets Ravi Shankar. He already met Ravi Shankar, the famous visit of the Beatles to India. This is where George Harrison's music starts to get really sitar-y and super Indian oriented, and he gets into meditation. Now in California, they have the Paramahansa Lake Shrine on Pacific Palisades, San Rafael Avenue, which I exhort all of you guys to go visit if you go to California. It's a wonderful and majestic lake shrine with a little boat inside of it in the lake, and there's geese, swans swimming. They have a really, really beautiful unison of all religions. They have little docks, and on each dock is a little synopsis of each religion. On each different dock, they have a little om sign, they have a little cross, and they have all the respective signs to the religions. And at the top, there's a beautiful temple, which is the non-denominational church. So it's beautiful. One of the first books that ever incited me to really commence and start my spiritual path was Autobiography of a Yogi, which Paramahansa Yogananda was the precursor, which was the first Indian man to introduce yoga in the 20s to Western society. And yoga is phenomenal. It's phenomenal for the health. It's when you're doing it, it's like a therapeutic exercise. You're connecting your mind, your body, and your spirit. It's a very still and resistance training exercise. And what can I say? I mean, live a healthy lifestyle. Give, guys. Just give. Be good people. Love each other. We're living in a society where there's a lot of crazy things happening. There's a lot of negativity. And I just want you guys to realize that we are not separate. We all bleed red. We're all the same spirit. Like Paramahansa Yogananda says in Autobiography of a Yogi, we are all droplets of water in this infinite ocean of love. And to finish this second episode of the Adan Show podcast, we are going to say a little excerpt of the Tao Te Ching, which is one of my favorite ones, which is, stoop low like the ocean and all rivers will flow to you. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. I love you all. I love all my Adonatics. Thank you for tuning in. Take care, and we'll see you on the next episode of the Adan Show. Peace.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, all my Adonatics and everybody from around the world, thank you for coming back and tuning into the Adan Show. It is awesome to be back today, a beautiful day, As always, it was wonderful, spectacular, phenomenal, and fantastic. Whether if the day is sunny or cloudy, it doesn't matter because the sun resides inside of your soul. That's right, everybody. We must be happy. We must fulfill our lives through the interior spiritual journey of manifestation through positive thinking. Positive thinking starts with creating an image in your mind, an image so strong, so powerful, and so thrilling and fulfilling that you feel this movie inside your head. At least twice a day, Tony Robbins says, go to that moment, go to that feeling of fulfillment that your goal is already achieved. Just imagine that moment when you have your goal achieved. What does it feel like? What does it sound like? What does it taste like? What does it smell like? What does it look like? You live it. You engulf yourself and you immerse yourself in the feeling of accomplishing that goal, and you are there and you will manifest it, my people. You will manifest your dreams. You will manifest your dreams, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be fantastic. And that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm talking about. I'm going to bring it down a little bit. Manifestation. Do what you want. You have the freedom to make your own decisions. Astrologically, planets will be aligned. Things are gonna happen. Things beyond our control are gonna happen, and we're not gonna know what to do unless we guide ourselves through the right principles. And those, my friends, are the principles of Adon, and that is generosity above all. Give to people. You must give. Life is about giving. True wealth is how much you give, not how much you have. And true richness is health. Let's give thanks, everybody. Let's give thanks that we are healthy. We are healthy and happy, and we have the freedom to do what we want. Well, except for the countries like North Korea and Venezuela, where there are crazy dictatorships going on. But let's pray for them too. Let's pray. Let's make a prayer. Prayer works, guys. Prayer is a real thing. They did, I don't know which university conducted an experiment, but they did, on how prayer can affect how patients in a hospital accelerate their healing process. So non-biased, none of the patients knew who if they were being prayed for or not. They got a list of their names. Half of them, nobody prayed for them. Half of them was just blah, blah, blah. And the other half of the names of the patients were sent to monasteries, to Buddhist temples, to ashrams, to synagogues, to Catholic, to Christian churches, to every possible temple that you could possibly imagine. And, you know, the most miraculous thing happened. The people that were prayed for healed faster. Mr. Donovan, how did you explain that? How did you figure out that to happen after everybody found out that praying makes you a little more healthy? So if praying makes you healthy, and that's what's going to happen with you, make life better by praying. But praying cannot be the only things that you have to do to make your reality what you want to make it. Praying must also be accompanied by doing. Having a set plan, having a set amount of goals, a strategy, a logical and analytical thought out plan of doing something. Don't think too much about it. Take simple steps. Tony Robbins says, he's my man, awaken the giant within. Whoa, 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 whoa. Tony Robbins is my man. Slam dunk. Walk off of the three-pointer. Swoosh. What does Tony Robbins say? Tony Robbins says, make a list of little things that you can do today to take that first step. Take that first step. I believe the Tao Te Ching says that a journey of 1,000 miles starts with one step by Lao Tzu. Love the Tao Te Ching. What else can we talk about, guys? Eckhart Tolle, The Power of Now. What a phenomenal book. I mean, I just love how he talks about the pain body. And the pain body is that little knot that you feel in your stomach, that anxiety, that pressure that just like brings you down. And he says that once you bring attention to that part of your body, the emotion automatically dissipates. The negative emotion. What does this say? Qi. Qigong. If you guys don't want to know what qi is energy. Wherever you place your attention on a specific part of your body, that's where the energy, the qi of your body goes to. So let's say you have like a broken wrist, right? And you want to heal your wrist faster. Focus on your wrist and send your qi there. Just breathe. Just take a deep breath. Send the qi to that spot. Send the qi to the shoulders. Send the qi to your heart. Those hearts that are aching, those hearts that have been broken, those hearts that are so sad because a loved one has just passed away. When you have a loved one that has just passed away, and you are going to feel within the first 2 years a feeling that that living entity, that spirit is still with you. And that is a wonderful time, my Adonatics. That is a wonderful time because that means the spirit cares about you. The spirit loves you. That was one true love. That it was a twin flame, that it was a soulmate. This spirit is still around because it's protecting you. And once the spirit moves on, it moves on. So once this, while this spirit is still around you for these first 2 years after they pass away, it's a moment for you to say, I'm sorry for what you messed up in, and to say thank you for everything they did for you, and just to say, I love you. One of the things I never want to live with is the feeling of what if. What if has been completely eliminated from my vocabulary. I live my life literally. Tony Robbins says on Awaken the Giant Within that we live our lives according to pleasure and pain. We want to get away from pain and we want to go to pleasure. And if there is something that is causing more pleasure to you, that's what the behavior is going to be. Now, I associate so much pain to regret and the what if I would have done that and I should have done that feeling that I never let it happen. The second I get that rush in my stomach and my heart starts beating, like the day I saw that beautiful girl that I fell in love with, that I wanted to spend the rest of my life with her, I said, my heart is rushing for you. Oh, and she walks by me. I'm like, should I go talk to her? Should I not? Should I go talk to her? And the second, I give myself 3 seconds. I give myself no more than 3 seconds to go up to that girl and say, hi, my name is Adon. And what if you guys did that? What if every single time you saw that person that could possibly be the woman or the man of your dreams and you found the courage to say, if I don't do this, I could possibly regret it for the rest of my life. If I don't do this, I have to go up to this person and I'm going to talk to them. Who knows what'll happen? Think about it. I mean, there are decisions, split decisions that we make in one moment that could change the rest of our destiny. It is in the moments of decision that our destiny is created. Astrologically, the planets are aligned for certain things to happen to you. You're karmically here because you choose to come into a family, and you're reincarnating because you're here to learn a lesson. And all the people that you're living with on this earth and that you meet on this incarnation, you've met before, and there's a lesson for you to learn. And everything that you're going through for difficulties, that is like a subject in college that you keep failing. And if you're here to learn the lesson, learn it, guys. Stop running into the brick wall. You guys, like, we can't be like mosquitoes that keep flying into a window and being like thinking that we're gonna get through the window. It's like zzzz, like chill out, mosquito or fly. Fly back and turn around the corner and you'll see that the door is wide open. Life is a dance, guys. Life is a dance. Tony Robbins talks about how we change our metaphors. Metaphors create such powerful emotional feelings within us. And, you know, it's wonderful because the metaphors that you can talk about that you associate to yourself. For example, you could say positive metaphors. Life is a gift. Life is a dance. Life is a game. Isn't that fun? Isn't it fun to think that life is just for fun? That life is, that the world is a stage. You could just perform and your audience is there to cheer you on. That life is a gift. A gift where we can cherish and it's full of surprises and we can unwrap it. It's like peeling an onion. Although onions make you cry. That's an interesting metaphor, but we'll use a peeling of the onion. Life is like peeling an onion. You peel out all the exterior parts, or like an artichoke. It could be either or. Onions make you cry. Let's go with artichoke. Artichoke, boil the artichoke and start peeling it little by little. I actually like the onion. Okay, onion. Onion has more layers. Okay, so life is like an onion. You're unpeeling the onion layer by layer by layer by layer. And suddenly, you take all the layers and you make a little volcano out of it. Pour some Bacardi 151. Not product integration, but call me if you want me to do it, Bacardi. Go Puerto Rico. Woohoo. You pour it in. Take the lighter. Teppanyaki style. Asian cuisine. Flamethrower. Volcano. Who wants a volcano in their life? I want a volcano in my life. Who wants a flamethrower of passion flying through the sky on a dragon like Game of Thrones? Let's say, can I get a raise of hands? If you're in your car right now, in traffic, I want you to raise your hand and I want you to say, I love myself. Come on, say it. That's right, everybody. If you're in your room listening to this podcast, I want you to say, I forgive myself. You scream it. I don't care. I don't care if there's people around. If you're in the gym, say, I forgive the world. Come on, everybody. Scream it. Make a fool of yourself. I forgive the world. That's right, everybody. We forgive the world for all the things they've done to us. Why am I gonna carry the weight of rencor. Rencor in Spanish is this weight of this resentment that you feel towards people for the bad things they've done. We can't control bad people. We're so entitled. We think that nobody has the right to treat me bad. How dare he insult me and speak to me in that tone? No, no. That analytical set of beliefs is making you mad. It's creating anger. How do we get rid of anger? Rational Emotive Behavioral Therapy. Albert B. Ellis wrote a book. Check it out. How to Control Your Anger. It is good. I started reading this book the day my dad told me something that pissed me off, and I slammed my elbow out of rage into a refrigerator, and I'm still feeling the pain on my elbow 4 years later. That's the moment where I said, you know what? I gotta do something about my anger. I gotta do something about this. So I read the book and it said, Rational Emotive Behavior broken down by Adon Allende on the Adon Show style. This is how it is, my Donatics. When you go through something difficult, say, I can stand it. Instead of saying, I can't stand when someone does that, say, I can stand it. Okay. Then you say, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. There's people in Africa dying of hunger. There's people in war going, like, right now. There's people in guerrilla warfare. There's people in gangs that have no choice but to be in the gang and trade drugs and do all that shady, sad stuff because they have no choice but to be in that lifestyle. It's not that bad. Us and our first world problems, we're so stuck in our minds thinking that our life is so difficult, but when we actually get perspective and say, you know what, it really isn't that bad. Think of Nazi Germany being in a concentration camp. It takes me back to Viktor Frankl, the psychiatrist that wrote a book that I exhort all of you my Adonatics to read. It's called Man's Search for Meaning. Viktor Frankl, Man's Search for Meaning, which I talked about the psychology of logotherapy, which is logos, finding meaning, therapy, looking into the future. Sigmund Freud and most of the psychoanalysts focused on the past and the present, but what Viktor Frankl focused on was the future. So, I was in Home Depot today, not product integration again, but if you want me to do product integration, Home Depot, call me up because I love you guys. I am rebuilding my house. My beach villa in Puerto Rico. Ooh, 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 ooh. That's what I'm saying. So I was listening to Miley Cyrus's The Climb, and it's true when she says there's always going to be another mountain. How's it? There's always going to be an uphill mountain. I'm always going to want to make a move. There's always going to be an uphill battle. Sometimes I'm going to have to lose. Ain't about how fast I get there. Ain't about what's waiting on the other side. It's the climb. Now, those lyrics are unfathomable. It's so true. It's the climb, guys. Like, seriously, it is about the journey. It is about the path. It's like a beat. Tony Robbins in Awaken the Giant Within, which you guys are gonna love. It's changed my life. I'm reading it right now. Very inspirational. And it uses this wonderful metaphor about the path and the journey. And this is basically what it talks about. The bee. It talks about a bee. So the bee, it goes from flower to flower looking for this lovely, delicious, exquisite nectar. And that's its journey. It wants the nectar, but it doesn't realize that as it's going from nectar to nectar, it's cross-pollinating and it's creating a beautiful foliage and plethora of wonderful, gorgeous flowers going on. That's pretty much what our life is when we have meaning. We go through our life with a goal, with a purpose, with meaning, but it's not about the goal. It's really not about having goals. It's about having purpose. It's about the journey towards that goal that matters. Because what Tony Robbins talks about is, can I? Constant and never-ending improvement, everybody. Everybody say it again. Can I? C-A-N-I, constant and never-ending improvement. Let's not maintain a lifestyle, let's improve a lifestyle. Let's focus our lives every single day to getting better. Getting better what we want to do. Let's make a list of all of our goals that we have. Let's put it on a timeline. Let's put it on which one is the 1 year timeline. And let's get the most important one. Right now, my most important goals are to become a kung fu master. That's my one of my most important goals. I want to be a kung fu master, so I'm going to do it. I endorse not only the fact that kung fu is something of a wonderful art of martial arts to save somebody and be a hero in time of need.